So today in the readings, my brothers and sisters, we see Jesus as the fulfillment of this prophecy of Isaiah, to be a light blazing in the darkness. As I've read this gospel over and over, preparing for the homily, the two lines that most strike me, that my attention is drawn to, the two lines that mentioned the kingdom of heaven. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom. This week we celebrate Catholic Schools Week. And in so doing, we acknowledge the mission of our parish to create a place, an environment in which our children can receive the education that they need to grow and to become adults, but to do it in the context of a place in which we, as a parish, create the environment, create the culture, create the opportunity where in that place our children can encounter Jesus. But to tell you the truth, my brothers and sisters, it isn't a building that we are introducing our children to. It is an encounter with Jesus. And that encounter with Jesus must take place when the faculty and staff of our school have encountered Jesus and have become, as Jesus was, a burning light. Because when we speak about the proclamation of the gospel, my brothers and sisters, we're not talking about a thing that somehow existed outside of who Jesus was. The proclamation of the gospel, and I've talked about the word, the gospel, the good news, the evangelion, the proclamation of victory. Caesar Augustus would have a victory. He would send out a gospel, an evangelion, announcing the victory that he had achieved. When we speak about the gospel of the kingdom, it speaks of warfare. It speaks of victory. It speaks of battle. It speaks of conquest. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It is the proclamation that something happened. Something has taken place. It's interesting because as the gospel goes along, we see the call of Peter and Andrew, James and John. You understand, they are the consequence of the victory. They are the territory that has been taken. Jesus and his call to them has drawn them into his kingdom. They are territory in themselves. We have this false understanding that if I just go to the right place, if I just set up my home in the right way, then everything will be peaceful. You know, we do a good job as Catholics. You walk into the home and there are more pictures on the wall than they have at Idonley's, you know? You got a crucifix over here, statues over here, rosaries over here, blessed candles over here. You know, you walk into some houses, it's like you're going into a shrine or something anyway. So the point, well, we can set the environment, well, we can set the culture. It is not an outsider in kind of reality. The gospel message is proclaimed and it transforms who we are. It has to be an inside out transformation. We must light the fire within us. When the child is baptized and we hand the baptismal candle over to the godparents and parents and say, This light is entrusted to you to be kept burning brightly. You know, when I see that, you can see it on their faces. Immediately, they're like, oh, you know, how long are we going to keep this burning, Father? You know, it's only going to last about a week. It's like, yeah, I know. It's not that candle. It's the light of Christ that is burning within this child. This is who you are required to watch over. This is the one who has been illuminated and enlightened by Jesus. See, the good news of this victory, my brothers and sisters, the gospel message of Jesus Christ, we can reduce it to the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But do you understand that the gospel message of Jesus, the proclamation of victory, when it is spoken to us, when we see and hear and understand what Jesus has done, it's like a Mack truck hitting us, a Mack truck of truth. And all of the lies and all of the brokenness and all of the stuff that is within and all of the darkness, when it comes in conflict with the truth, something has to change. We are really good at changing the environment and changing the situation around us. But my brothers and sisters, this is not what Jesus seeks. He seeks the interior transformation of mankind. That's why he comes and is incarnate. The failure of the giving of the law and the transformation of the people, it could never transform the heart. This was the issue. This was the problem. And so what Jesus comes in the incarnation and the giving of the Holy Spirit was to bring about the transformation of heart, to light a fire here, to scatter the darkness. We are to be as Jesus. We are to burn with his light. What does it look like, my brothers and sisters, when truth is spoken into our life? Have you ever had an instance where you thought of something in a certain way for a very long time, this is the way things are, and all of a sudden, you know, you learn something new about it and then everything changes? Have you ever had an instance like that? I have a personal instance that I will share with you. I'm recording this, so anyway. Yeah, well. My mom and dad know that I'm a priest, so they know that I'm going to talk about them in my homilies, so they're just going to have to get over it. But the point being, very early on in my childhood, it was very difficult in the house. You say my mother was... She ran the house very successfully, but very much in a way of control. And, you know, when I left home and I grew up and got out of that situation and everything, and I looked back, there were parts of me that thought my mom was just being mean, that she was just grumpy, and that she was controlling. And one day in my work as a priest, I was looking up stuff about alcoholism and things like that, and I came across an article in which it said 13 characteristics of the daughter of an alcoholic. And I thought to myself, well, that's interesting, because everything I've heard about my grandpa, my mom's dad, was that he had a problem with alcohol. And I began to read the characteristics, and I was shocked. Every characteristic that was listed described my mom. And in that moment, I realized my mom wasn't just being mean, she wasn't being controlling because she was just a bad person. She was operating from her woundedness. She was operating from the fear of being a little girl in a household where it was never known what the situation in the house was going to be like. You didn't know if you could be happy or you could be sad. It was all dependent upon the alcoholic. And the alcoholic controlled everything. And when my mother finally got out of that situation, she never wanted to be in that situation ever again. You know, and as we do, the pendulum swings, and there is this attempt to create a place that was safe for her. safe for us as children, safe for my father, to create that environment. But she was operating out of her woundedness. But for me, when I encountered that and understood that, and all of a sudden truth was spoken about who my mother was, about the difficulties that she endured growing up and the situation and how she responded, all of a sudden there was a welling up of compassion within me that I had not experienced for my mom prior to that. And all of you moms are probably scandalized by that, but it's the truth, it's the way it was. My mother and my relationship changed that day. And a lot of things that needed to be forgiven or let go were forgiven and let go. You see what truth does, my brothers and sisters? It can change everything. And when we encounter the gospel, when we encounter Jesus Christ, we encounter truth being spoken. We encounter truth being spoken in a way that makes us, helps us to understand the world and how things operate and what is important and what is not important. It changes everything. But it is not, it doesn't remain outside of us. See, this is the point. When truth is spoken, it changes us. This is the transformation. This is the conversion. This is the light being ignited within us. When we encounter truth and it changes the way we think, it changes the way we are. Another personal story of where Jesus, because this is the thing, you know, we speak about Jesus revealing the truth. We have a catechism that categorizes everything and lists it out beautifully, wonderfully, presents the truth of what we proclaim as Christians, as Catholics, the truth that Jesus speaks and how it is lived out as a community of believers. But it goes beyond that. To understand that the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom, includes our stories. It includes Jesus' victory in you and in me. We are part of the gospel. We are part of the proclamation of truth. We are part of the proclamation of victory. If we allow the truth that Jesus speaks to be transformative in our life, to be humble, to be docile to the Spirit, to allow God to be a part of that, to transform and to change, it begins here. Yeah, there's an old adage. I don't like them because they're too, like, oh yeah, that's so stereotypical. But, you know, like the old priest that you talk to, it's like, yeah, when I was first ordained, I was going to change the world. After about 10 years, I was going to change the diocese. 10 more years, I was going to transform my parish. And now at 50 years being ordained, I'm just be glad to change myself. But that's really where it was supposed to start. The gospel message is not a thing that we put on a shelf. It is the power of God being proclaimed in truth and in light into us. And it gets very particular too. I don't know if I've shared this story before, but it was very powerful for me. Years ago, I went on a kind of a healing retreat. And in the context of the retreat, I was brought back into a memory of my childhood. And it's funny because we were discussing things and I had listed off about 10 different events that I remembered where it was like tragedy, you know, when my best friend when I was a kid moved away and when this happened and this happened. And the retreat leader was like, all right, well, let's just pray. Let's just pray and see where God leads us. I'm like, okay, but you know, it's probably gonna be one of these things on the list. I already did my research. Here they are, you know. So we start praying, and all of a sudden, in my memory, I'm brought back to second grade of an event that happened where I got sick during lunch and nothing was settling right, so I had to go to the bathroom and the teacher wouldn't let me go, and so then we got back to the classroom. I said, I have to go. And I remember walking down the hallway, then running down the hallway, then sprinting down the hallway, getting to the bathroom just in time to not make it. And I'm sitting there in that memory, and I'm just shaking my head, and the director of the retreat's going, yes? And I'm like, nah, it's stupid. She's like, well, let's just let the Holy Spirit decide what's stupid. Go ahead. I was like, well, you know, it was this time where I had an accident in school. And I began crying. And as we prayed through that event, and I encountered Jesus in that event, and Jesus revealed the lies that I had believed about myself all those years ago, when I was 7, 8 years old, that I had believed for 30 some years, and how those lies, how they tainted my relationship with everyone, how it tainted my relationship with my mom, who had to come to school with clean clothes and help to clean me up, and then to go down to the bathroom and to clean up the bathroom. How it tainted my relationship with my mother because I saw her have to do something that I never wanted anyone ever to have to do for me again. And the things that I believed about myself and believed about others. And Jesus had to speak the truth into that moment. And when he spoke truth into that moment, it killed the root of a lie that had grown into this massive tree that was a part of my life. And afterwards, my life changed radically. I experienced greater freedom in ways and in relationships and things that I had never felt as an adult. Because of some memory when I was 7 years old, something that had happened. And it required the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ, to enter into that moment and to speak freedom, healing, restoration, truth. This is the power of the gospel, my brothers and sisters. This is the power of what Jesus wants to do for all of us in the Holy Spirit. He wants truth and compassion and light to illuminate every part of who we are. And if someone asks you, are you a Christian? Are you a believer? You shouldn't have to point to your house or where you go to church or the school where you send your children. You only should have to point here to your heart and tell the story of how you have encountered the healing power of Jesus Christ. How you have experienced the forgiveness of sin. How you've experienced his merciful love. How you have spoken truth about the world and about who you are that has brought you into greater freedom. This is what Jesus wants for every single one of us. And if a little incident like getting diarrhea in second grade can be so transformative for me, then I think all of us have a story like this. All of us have experiences from our childhood. Some that are much more difficult than what I endured. And instead of dismissing it and forgetting about it, now as an old adult, Jesus wants to take you back there so he can speak the truth to you. So, my brothers and sisters, just the invitation today is don't imagine that the gospel message and what we proclaim as believers is something that is outside of us, that sits on a shelf in a pretty binding. The gospel message of Jesus Christ is as close to us as each other. And the power of Jesus Christ and the transforming, the gift of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, is as close to us as this. This is what God wants for us. He wants us to be a light shining in dark places. We want a church to be a place of light. But it won't be because we change the light bulbs into LEDs and all of a sudden it's twice as bright in here. Which I'm going to do anyway, but that's beside the point. What Jesus truly wants to do is to light us on fire. And so the invitation for us is to be humble. And to know that the fire that Jesus wants to ignite within us is not intended to destroy us. It is an expression of his love. You are the reason he came. You are the reason that he did everything he did. He reveals his desire to be your savior and to scatter the darkness that exists. He loves you and he wants this for you. Do we have the courage to want it for ourselves? Do we have the courage to allow ourselves to be changed by truth and to be set free?